time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul's computer issues continue day dose.
I should have thrown it today because yesterday it worked. Today, not working. So maybe, I don't know, should I dramatically throw my computer?
What is it? You said it's the Surface, right?
Right. If I go off on a rant, throw my computer, hopefully not break anything in studio, maybe I go viral, show goes viral, ratings, success.
Hashtag ratings?
Yeah.
Mark?
Right. Because we are all about the ratings.
We are, yeah.
Sorry.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. This is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Happy to be with you on this Tuesday. A big day yesterday. Look, I mean, it all kind of came to a head and we got some answers. Now, answers that leave more questions, yes, but some answers in the saga regarding Deshaun Watson and more so, Paul, just kind of the timeline. So there was a hearing and the goal of the hearing with Judge Collier, Rusty Hardin, who is, of course, representing Deshaun Watson, wanted Watson's deposition pushed to April. And he wanted this because he said not all of the women have been deposed yet, the 22 women in the civil lawsuits. The decision was that Watson can be questioned under oath for 9 cases. So the judge technically ruled against him. It's for the 9 cases involving the women who have, number one, already been deposed, and number two, did not file criminal charges. So, if you can remember all of this.
I need a flowchart.
We need
whiteboard.
Charts. There are 22 civil cases. 8 of those women have filed with HPD, and then 2 additional women have filed with HPD. 2 additional women who did not file civil at all. So, the judge ruled that Watson can be questioned under oath for the 9 cases involving the women who, 1, have already been deposed, and 2, did not file a criminal complaint. Now, it is still a delay because Rusty Hardin is not available yet. He's on other cases.
Good for him.
So in a way, they kind of got what they wanted with a couple of the cases, but the judge did technically rule against Deshaun Watson's request.
So here's what's going to happen based off of my very limited understanding of law.
Yeah, we're not lawyers.
Right. I mean, Charlie Day, I might know more about law than Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, bird lawyer. But when it comes to this, it feels like they were going to delay things because they did not want Deshaun Watson to have in the back of his mind the possibility of a criminal case being brought against him. And Rusty Hardin at his press conference yesterday said that he believes that by April 1st, we will know whether or not Deshaun Watson faces criminal charges. So essentially, he's going to be getting asked questions. If he were to answer any of those questions, if he is to answer any of those questions in civil court could be used against him in criminal court. So basically now what we know, conventional wisdom, whenever he is deposed, he is going to say nothing.
I plead the 5th.
Right. And
Rusty Hardin said as much yesterday. He said he'll most likely use his 5th Amendment right while criminal charges are still a possibility.
A lot of people are probably listening right now. They're like, we get it. You guys watch Suits. Congratulations, you amateur lawyers. This is Law and Order. Two talking heads talk about the sports side of it. Here's what I know about what's going to happen next. You're going to have to wait longer. What a surprise, right? I mean, we're used to it at this point. But if Watson is taking a stand in civil court and he is doing nothing to essentially clear his name, if he is just taking the questions and not answering them, then I don't think that that helps his chances of potentially not being suspended by the NFL, because I think he's going to face one. The NFL is embarrassed by this situation, and he voluntarily took time off last year. And also, I think, too, there's still the possibility that something criminal could be filed. And I really don't know the answer. There's so many people that seem to think, okay, well, once the civil suits are done, once the civil settlements are done, this is going to move to the side. But listen, all it takes is one person working in a DA's office to say, no, we're going to make a statement here. you know, you see in New York all the time.
Absolutely.
Those, remember, like, Plaxico Burress with the you know, the gun that actually went off in his sweatpants at the club? I mean, they made a big deal about going after him. I don't know if it's going to be quite like that here, but very often these high-profile figures that have situations like this where they're facing 22 civil cases and I believe, what is it, 9 possible criminal charges or something like that, 8 people have filed criminal complaints.
8 of those women are also civil, gotcha, involved in the civil aspect, 2 or not.
So this is going to make it harder to trade Deshaun Watson, and that's unfortunate for the Texans, who continue to just have everything go against
any
them.
Delay, like, I
partly on them,
and
but, yeah.
It always feels a little grimy to be like, well, the football side of things, because I know.
But I mean, that's what we're supposed to talk about. Too.
I know it is important to me that I preface this. Go that ahead. I know that it might sound insensitive. I'm probably more on that train because I'm a woman and I know these are serious allegations.
You just hate women, don't you?
I hate them all. But to your point, it is a sports show. So from the football angle, I think anything that delays this deal with Deshaun Watson is not good for the Texans as far as compensation, what they're going to get back. We know the quarterback carousel is going to move with or without him. Now, he's a major domino in that carousel, but it will move with or without him. The new league year starts March 16th, I think. So I don't think anything that delays this is good from the football perspective. Now, is it good for Deshaun Watson from a legal perspective? Could be. I mean, Rusty Hardin, this is not his first rodeo. He's like in his 80s and his 70s or 80s and has been doing this for a long time.
Assuming he's not a total idiot at the stand and doesn't say, oh, well, actually, here's what happened. Right. And I mean, you know, honestly, I thought it was pretty hot. Like, if assuming he doesn't do something like that in court, then yeah, you're going to wait. And we'll see if criminal charges are filed. But if the criminal charges are filed, too, like, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. You're not going to get the compensation that they want. And, you know, what I was surprised, Vanessa, seeing with Deshaun Watson is that the Texans are standing fast to this idea that they're going to get a significant return for Watson. This was from Jeff Howe, who works for The Athletic. Jeff Howe wrote this: I've been told the Texans don't plan to lessen their asking price, which has been 5 to 7 assets. 5 to 7. That's a lot, including 3 first-round picks. So I think a lot of us have gotten to the point where 3 first-round picks is a lot. And it's just not going to happen with the way that things currently are, which include a lot of uncertainty. But they want 5 to 7 assets, including 3 first-round picks. And while Howe continues writing, I think it's fair to be skeptical they'll get that type of return. It made me wonder whether that means such an offer had been on the table before the November 2nd trade deadline of this past season. The deal never happened because of Watson's legal situation. So they're sticking to their guns, I guess, but I don't know how you stick to your guns with all of this cloudiness going on with Watson's actual legal circumstances.
Yesterday on The Wheelhouse, Mike Meltzer, a guy that radio people in Houston, radio listeners know very well, he was on The Wheelhouse. He had a great, Mike Meltzer had a great Twitter thread. Like,
yes, he did.
I always say to my legal friends, I need you to explain something to me like I'm 5 years old.
I texted Mike last night. I was like, me dumb. Explain.
Totally. Okay, bye. And he's really good at that.
He didn't text me back, by the way. So
yeah, stop, well, it's, he's like the women in your life. Yeah. So we have that audio from Mike Meltzer, who was on The Wheelhouse. Oh, we do not have that audio. Okay.
We do have Rusty Hardin. Do you want to hear Rusty
Hardin? You
know Hardin?
What? Let's go. Let's hear Rusty. And of course, the background, you all know Rusty Hardin is Deshaun Watson's lawyer. So this is part of what he said at the hearing yesterday.
He showed you what he wants to do. He wants to continue to try this in the media. Whatever happens, he wants to then reveal before anybody has a chance, an opportunity to respond to it. And I've been saying all along, I love what you folks do, and I believe in the First Amendment. I'm hoping and trusting that the public will listen to us when we say, he didn't do what he is accused of doing. I'm hopeful and trust that that'll be a conclusion of a grand jury, and then we'll get back to the civil lawsuits and all the different media leaks and everything and trying it in the media. But I've always wanted throughout this to leave up to law enforcement their own conclusions without me constantly making statements or somebody else.
Okay, so that's Rusty Hardin. That is Deshaun Watson's lawyer saying all of the things that lawyers say, like the case being tried in the media, leaks, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I mean, I think that the second that we heard who the lawyers were in this case, Rusty Hardin versus Tony Busby, we knew there was going to be a circus aspect to this.
Some peacockery.
There was going to be the social media posts and all of that. Now, once the process actually started, they had to go quiet.
Yep.
But leading up to that, oh my God.
It was insufferable at first. I remember seeing Busby from afar and I was like, geez, dude, relax. Okay. I feel like the way that you're making this is turning it into show and tell. And oh, wow, look at this guy. Look at all that these victims have gone through. I don't know. If I were one of the victims, I don't know how comfortable I'd have been with how he was portraying everything. You know, it was very antagonistic. And he also, yesterday at the hearing afterwards, he had his moment in the sunlight to spread his peacock feathers.
It is said that justice delayed is justice denied. That's true. Mr. Watson can continue to seek delay, but it's inevitable that he will eventually and ultimately have to answer questions about his conduct under oath, not only with respect to these 22 women, but others. You would think that someone whose legal team has called every one of these women liars, has criticized me and has loudly declared his complete innocence, would be ready to speak publicly under oath as he originally agreed. But instead, he ducks and runs for cover.
And, well, again, you know, Busby is going to Busby at the very end. I mean, if you're getting a statement by saying, it is said, geez, eye roll. But at the very end, and the entirety of that statement, he's right. I mean, if we're talking about innocence here with Watson, I know that this is how legal matters work. But it's hard to believe that Watson can steadfastly claim the same things he was claiming at first in this situation if he's not even going to combat it. And we're not talking about court of law here. We're talking about court of public opinion. And guess what?
True.
We all get to live in the court of public opinion. You know, this idea that we have to like say, oh, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Not for us. We are sitting back here. We see information and we are supposed to judge it based off of what we see. We are not lawyers, you know? That's how it works for us. That's how it works for you too. You're allowed to have these thoughts. And right now the thought is, if you're looking at it and Watson's not even going to talk, which is likely going to happen, then, I mean, it's hard to assume innocence and it's hard to assume that he is going to be able to get out of this completely scot-free and make it easy for the Texans to get rid of him.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on 92.5 ESPN 97.5. You can stream us on Twitch or listen to us on the ESPN app. Okay, coming up, a weird Instagram post by Aaron Rodgers and something that one of my girlfriends in Green Bay pointed out that I think is relevant. That is next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Aaron Rodgers has a way of just starting stuff. Regardless of what he does, everywhere he goes, it could be the complaining, it could be the social media posts, it could be the things that he says on Pat McAfee's show, which he is supposed to be on there later today. We'll certainly keep an eye out for that. He made an Instagram post last night. My personal assumption is that he was stoned or drunk when he made this.
Why?
It's just a little like, you know, when you're drunk at the bar and you hug your friends and you're like, I love you, man. You're that kind of guy, so don't even
Wow. Fair enough. I mean, the post does start with like a picture with a quote. Gratitude is the wine for the soul. Go on. Get drunk. So maybe
Roomy.
Maybe he was. And then he just posted a bunch of pictures with a bunch of
yeah,
different people.
Yeah, so I won't read the whole thing. Here's some hashtag Monday Night Gratitude. He starts off with Shailene Woodley, which are they or aren't they? The engagement might be off, but he wrote, thank you for letting me chase you the first couple of months we met and finally letting me catch up to you and be a part of your life. I love you, blah, 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 blah. I love you. I'm grateful for you. To the men,
they're not grateful enough to stay with you.
To the men I got to share the quarterback room with every day, Matt, Nathaniel, Luke, Jordan, and Kurt, you guys made every day so much fun.
Jordan Love wasn't last.
I love you guys.
Could have been worse for Jordan.
To the Friday crew, Ada Cobb, Randall Cobb, David Bakhtiari, and his girl, I loved every moment we got to spend together. Your love and support was overwhelming, and I cherished the friendships to my teammates, past and current. You are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job. This is how I know he was not sober.
The beautiful cake.
You are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job, football.
The friendships
that we have will transcend our collective time in this game, and I am so thankful
for
the role that each of you have played in making my life better. I love you guys and cherish the memories we've made. Here's where it gets really good. Almost done. To everyone else, spread love and gratitude, you beautiful people, and read a book once in a while, too, while you're at it. Love and peace.
12 rules.
And then, okay, so your initial thoughts on the post, and then I'm going to get into the picture aspect of it.
Well, it reads like someone that's announcing his retirement.
Absolutely.
I thought that, at least, at first. It's weirdly funeral-esque. I mean, you're saying it feels like thank yous, but thank yous with an implied goodbye followed by an Irish exit that you maybe do after a night out and about with the friend group. And that's the first read that I have for it. It doesn't feel like a goodbye to Green Bay necessarily. Hmm. I say that because I feel like he would have mentioned Devontae Adams. I thought that was interesting that
that's a really
he
good
wasn't
point.
Tagged in this. I mean, Devontae Adams is going to be a free agent this offseason, and Devontae Adams is clearly his boo as far as on the field. And it was to my teammates past and current instead of, you know, the shout out that Randall Cobb got and David Bakhtiari got. And I mean, shoot, even Jordan Love got a shout out, which I was surprised by.
My girl Adriana Torres. Adriana works in Green Bay. She is a sports anchor and reporter for WBAY, which is the ABC affiliate. She was the first one to point this out on social media, and then of course a bunch of people stole it and tried to act like they noticed it. The last picture in Aaron Rodgers' Instagram post is this one, and then she attaches the picture. He is in every photo he posted except this one. Now, this is relevant, Paul, because Aaron Rodgers, during the anthem and the pregame festivities, usually stands between Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb. In this photo,
taking a knee?
He is not there.
He hates America. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you're not where I'm going with this. So, again, from my friend at Torres Adriana TV, the last picture in Aaron Rodgers' Instagram post is this one. He's in every photo he posted except this one. He normally stands between Cobb and Adams for the national anthem. This looks like the game he missed in KC, so pipe down. Could mean something or nothing. Time will tell. I think it means something. So every picture attached to this post, he was with David Bakhtiari. He was with Shailene Woodley. He's with the quarterback guys. We have the quote at the beginning. And then the post ends, the last picture, with this photo of Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams without Aaron Rodgers. Do you read into this? I do. I don't think he's stupid, because if he didn't want to do this, he would have used one of the many, many, many pictures from every other game where he's between Adams and Cobb.
I've been reading on my website that Aaron Rodgers is definitely going to Denver based off this Instagram post.
No, I think he's screwing with us. You know, I want to read into it. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to dive deep into people's posts on social media. One of my favorite ever was Danny Amendola's post after he broke up with Olivia Culpo. Houston zone, Danny Amendola, the Texan zone. Oh, you didn't see that? All right, we might have to go back to that later on. It was very pathetic. No offense to Danny Amendola. I can understand why. Olivia Culpo is a very beautiful woman. But to me, Aaron Rodgers, I think, just likes to mess with people. You know, there was a time where I think he was on the Pat McAfee show and he was talking about some of the things that, you know, he had heard about the vaccine, and there are certain books on the shelf, and he made a big point afterwards, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers reads this book? Unbelievable. He's the worst. He's like, well, yeah, I put that up there on purpose. I think he's having a little bit of fun, because the media cycle that we have is so stupid that we look at a post that might just be an innocuous, hey, you know, I had a couple of drinks, maybe I had a gummy, maybe I had, you know, a little oski-woski, and I'm feeling sentimental. I'm in my feelings. As our good buddy on Twitter, Not Santa, says, nothing wrong with a man expressing his feelings in written word. I 100% agree with that fact. But I think he's messing with us. And I feel like he'll probably be a little bit, close to the vest with Pat McAfee today. I don't expect some sort of big announcement. I guess we'll find out in about 30, 40 minutes or so. But there's a part of me that thinks he's messing with us. And honestly, if he is, even though he's been very insufferable talking about his situation in Green Bay the last couple of years, one of the best in the NFL, if he's messing with us, I think it's funny.
Good for him.
I mean, because I do think we've gotten to a point where we're really just dissecting such stupid stuff during the NFL offseason because we want to still talk about football. The football's not happening on the field anymore.
Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Twitch, Twitter, at Gallant Says, and at Sports Vanessa. I do think Aaron Rodgers is a master at trolling people. And before this season, before last offseason, I'm not going to say that he was America's sweetheart, but everything with trying to cry his way out of Green Bay, everything involving the vaccine, regardless of where you stand on it, was really obnoxious to people. And then just his the way that he's handled the situation with his family, who he doesn't talk to. It's a lot.
It is a lot, but I can understand why he maybe gets to a point where he decides that he is going to just take shots subtly by making fun of our media cycle. Because I did feel like there were a lot of people who also voted for Aaron Rodgers for MVP that were so outraged by the fact that Aaron Rodgers avoided answering a question that he was going to get absolutely crushed for if he answered it honestly. You know, they were just waiting for something. And then everyone was like, oh, he's satanic. And now a couple months later, we're like, oh, well, maybe we weren't as right as we thought we were a couple of months ago, seeing as the science continues to evolve when it comes to all things related to COVID-19.
I'm now looking up Danny Amendola's post, by the way.
You found it? Okay.
No clue this existed.
You didn't know?
I don't know how I missed it.
I have some friends that went to the Woodlands for high school, and I don't know if they talked to him about this, but geez, it was really sad.
This was not a good idea. All right, coming up, we wouldn't quite call it a melee, maybe a scrum. The situation at Michigan has been resolved. Was the punishment proper? That's coming up next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Had no idea Woodlands native Danny Amendola ever wrote this. This is wild.
It's long.
It's from 2019. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not new.
But what were your favorite parts of it, Vanessa, now that you've seen it?
I think just Olivia chooses and wants to be noticed on the internet and to Hollywood wants to make money.
She's dressing up too scantily for me, and I'm jealous because everyone's sliding in her DMs.
And then just like the absolute journey of manic issues. I mean, I think he had to have been drunk out of his mind when he posted this.
He did write about how the sex was good.
He did.
So congratulations to Danny on the sex.
Big congrats. Danny's nice. His dad's nice, but that was definitely
We all have bad moments online. Like, I'm not even going to crush him for it.
What was yours?
I went on my time hop right now, and I was looking to see if there's maybe some awful post that I had, like, from Facebook in 2011, where I'd be like, life is just so hard. Or, like, some stupid away message that they might have had on AIM when I was 12 or something like that.
The Facebook memories get me.
They do.
They're completely embarrassing.
And I'm like, I got to delete this. What if someone sees this? What am I going to do? Paul Gallant has changed his status from single to not listed.
Okay,
on this
day 10 years ago, are you ready for this?
Hit me.
If you don't care about me, I would rather you just tell me.
Oh, damn. Who are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Must have been a guy.
I would have been, I guess, a junior in high school.
Oh, definitely a guy then.
12 years ago, I posted Lil Wayne lyrics.
Oh, good. Okay. But nothing cancelable in them, right?
14 years ago today, just had White Castle food for the first time. No comment.
Oh, damn. You don't like White Castle.
I was documenting everything.
Interesting.
Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN at 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, you'll get more. I'll start screenshotting them to you. They're golden. A punishment handed down from that situation, the Michigan-Wisconsin game where there was a little bop by Juwan Howard.
Boop.
And
boop. Yeah, you just booped that guy. It's fine.
There's a scrum in Madison. Andrew Catalan, when he's not calling Texans-Jags games, was calling that
Poor
game.
Guy.
Yeah, right. But there has been a punishment. So Juwan Howard is suspended for the rest of the season, which is, drum roll please, 5 games.
Right. So no Big Ten tournament and no March Madness. I could see how maybe he would have been fired, given that there's been another incident that was similar. I forget when it took place.
I think last season.
Right. So he's had some temper issues at the end of games. He's a fiery coach. But we have seen guys like Jim Schwartz in the NFL do the same thing. We have seen guys like Jim Harbaugh in the NFL do the same thing. Maybe not slap somebody in the face, but I think like seeing guys get to the point where it could have turned physical and it didn't quite. I know here in Houston, it wasn't that long ago, 1993, 1994, when Buddy Ryan, the then defensive coordinator of the Oilers, punched Kevin Gilbride in the face on the sideline. So that happened. We saw Bill O'Brien yell at people and be separated from people on the sideline, too.
You
Larry
Izzo.
You
mother effer.
Right. Look, in a situation like this, I get where we all react and say, oh, this was an absolute embarrassment. And for Juwan Howard, it certainly is an embarrassing moment. But is it so embarrassing that you have to separate yourself from a guy who is part of the Fab Five, who's one of the most important basketball players in Michigan history? Are you really going to do that because of this? Because to me, I get everyone calling for blood. That's what we do online these days. But if you're Michigan, I'm looking at it from this perspective. Am I going to do better than Juwan Howard? Probably not. I mean, we had John Beilein in Michigan before that, and things went all right. But this is Juwan Howard.
I don't like the kids getting suspended because it was the coaches that started it. So yeah. I completely disagree with that. And I think that when three grown men fire up 18, 19-year-old kids who are taught loyalty their entire lives, that's on the adults. He is eligible for postseason. He will be back for the Big Ten tournament, which begins March 9th in Indy.
Right. And look, I think that this does lay a pretty hefty slap on the wrist because I think if you look at Michigan right now with 5 games left, there's certainly a chance that they completely, you know, crater if there's no Juwan Howard there. And, you know, they're not ranked right now. Are they a certainty to make the tournament? I'm sure right now they probably would be in. But there's a chance that without Juwan Howard, they could completely fall. So I think this is an appropriate punishment, but they can still get it back in the Big Ten championship. Say they do crater at the end, if they would have to win the whole thing, and maybe get into the tournament. Some people are calling for actual firings here. I understand why. I guess I just, in this situation, I don't see the reason to get rid of him entirely, to banish him from the sport. It's an embarrassing moment, but no one got seriously hurt. It was a slap, too.
Right.
First actual punch.
It was not a punch.
And he knocked the guy down, and then he, like, stepped over him and curb stomped him or something like that. Like, okay, that's a different story, but we're talking about a slap.
I think where the Big Ten might have had some things to think about is, if you fire Juwan Howard, do you have to fire the Wisconsin coaches? Because they're the ones that enticed and started things with their mouths. And I think that would have been a tricky situation. Meanwhile, Jay Billis was on the Rich Eisen show and had thoughts about this situation. Jay Billis obviously covered college basketball for a long time. Here's what he said.
I don't care what happened in the game. The game was over, and there was no reason for anyone to behave that way. And whether Greg Gard was whatever you think his level of culpability, it didn't look like those two were exchanging pleasantries after. Or one was saying, hey, I'm sorry, I hope you didn't misunderstand. They got nose to nose, and there's just no reason for it. And I don't excuse anyone.
There are times though where I look at Jay Billis and I'm like, you're like a scientist. I know you played basketball back in the day, but I mean you can't see how things would escalate to that point. I mean, Howard is the reason that it got to that point. But Gard, you know, grabbed him by the shirt. And what's wrong with two people yelling at each other? What's wrong with two coaches getting mad at each other?
What I always come back to is that villains, and these guys are not villains, but like think about the Astros sign stealing scandal to make it local. Everybody complained about that. I know people were mad, but the truth is that issues and drama in sports, as long as nobody is getting seriously hurt, is kind of fun.
Yeah.
This was kind of fun. And I'm
this
not
is
talking
good for college
about
basketball.
Right. I'm not talking about serious things like the Watson situation. But things like this are not bad. Not only does it give talking heads like us something to chat about, but it is good. I mean, it's drama, it's villain, it's people take sides, it's you have quote unquote men of integrity like Jay Billis saying these things, and then you have the Barstool Sports of the world or whoever saying give us more. I don't think it's terrible.
I don't think it's terrible either. I understand where Michigan would be embarrassed. I understand where probably some with Wisconsin might be a little embarrassed. And definitely Juwan Howard would be, because I think if Juwan Howard could have this entire thing back, that he would take it back. The press conference, too, afterwards, where he was claiming self-defense.
He was still
like,
hot.
Shut up, dude.
He was still hot, yeah. And he had no remorse.
Right. He didn't. And then afterwards, he puts out the statement of, like, thinking about the way that it affected other people, I'm sorry for my actions. I love those written statements. Say it. Say it from the heart. No one believes a written statement.
Right.
But, I mean, whatever. I think that this was a fun moment for college basketball in a weird way. And honestly, college basketball needs moments like this because the regular season is pretty boring. No one really starts talking about college basketball until the conference tournaments begin. And, I mean, those are right around the corner.
They get the pop of March Madness. They get the there's not a better tournament than March Madness. But to your point, definitely during the rest of the year when you look at ratings and where things are.
So what we're saying is more slaps in basketball.
More slaps, more there's a scrum in Matt. What was it? There's a something in
this
Madison.
This is getting ugly.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, my God.
With the CBS News.
Yeah. Da, 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 da,
and da, da, da. Andrew Catalan was excellent on that call. Juwan Howard, 5 games the rest of the regular season. He will be in Indianapolis on March 9th.
Some would consider that a suspension in itself. You know, he's stuck in Indianapolis.
We're going to be talking about cheating in the next segment, and I have things to say. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am at Sports Vanessa on Twitter. He is at Gallant Says on all social media as well. When you look at kind of the Juwan Howard situation in general, where do you think it ranks among issues that have happened after games, handshake lines, etc.?
I mean, look, I know yesterday, and I mentioned this, the Speak for Your Pizza shows were talking about, should there be a handshake line anymore? I mean, I've seen worse than a handshake line. You know, generally it's at beer league hockey or it's after a flag football game or something like that, where it's not an actual professional sport. I don't think it ranks very high in this one. I think that college basketball has a bigger problem with players that think they're good at shooting threes, and another problem with just how it's really difficult to watch the sport now because these guys are only there for 1 year. There's no continuity or chemistry really feeling between the elite players. They're there for 1 year and then they're gone. So I think college basketball has much bigger problems than something that actually adds a little spice, a little sizzle to it. Something where, hey, I'm watching. Oh, wow, this is unexpected, because what I do expect is to see just awful shots taken over the course of a game and ugly fouls and the last 5 minutes of the game to take not quite as long as an NBA game, but too long.
Right. All right, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up, we got a conversation about cheating. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, it's always good to talk to somebody about cheating that knows about cheating. And Paul Gallant, as a Patriots fan
and Astros fan,
knows about cheating. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, the ESPN app, and you can watch us stream on Twitch.
I mean, wow, that was just so mean to come in here. Oh, so Paul knows a thing or two about cheating. At least you didn't say, you know, Paul with all his alleged ladies.
But that's another L. You know about cheating in the sports world and on your girlfriend's.
So she's just making assumptions right now.
Yeah, yeah. Cheating always has gotten brought up in Houston over the last 2 years for obvious reasons. But there is cheating in other, there's the Olympics, there's, you know, the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
Cheating gets brought up in sports a lot. And that gray area, Paul, the line of competitive advantage versus cheating. The line of, okay, well, is it an unspoken rule that everybody is doing it similar to what the Astros were doing, but they just were advanced and took it a step further? That always gets brought up.
Right, and competitive advantage, I think, varies from case to case. But I think for a lot of people, you see the word cheating and you lose your mind over it. And I started thinking about it last night because last night, 9 months after the Kentucky Derby had been won by Medina Spirit. Medina Spirit was stripped of victory because Medina Spirit tested positive for a steroid that is legal in Kentucky at Churchill Downs, but it's banned on race day. It's called beta methzone. So I don't know how to pronounce that, but anyway, Medina Spirit had it. Medina Spirit is dead. And I thought to myself, I mean, this is some BS. No, I mean, screw that horse. It was a cheater.
R.I.P.
That horse cheated.
The
Vanessa.
Horse did not inject itself with drugs.
But it didn't say no. I mean, it's bigger than a human
being. Wasn't it Bob Baffert? Wasn't he a Bob Baffert horse?
Bob Baffert is the guy who gets suspended from any, I think, race at Churchill Downs for 2 years.
He's a legend.
He is also banned, I think, from all horse racing for 90 days. And he was fined $7,500. And the $1.8 million purse that was supposed to go to Medina Spirit and Bob Baffert instead goes to Mandaloons. Okay, it's great for them, but everyone who bet on Mandaloon at the Kentucky Derby, they don't get any money. So, I mean, this is actually somewhat of a big deal because they gave the race, they didn't just strip the title. They gave the person who came in second place the actual title, which you don't see in a lot of other sports, you know? You don't see when a team in college football or in college basketball has its title stripped. It's not given to the team that finished in second place. It's just like no one won a championship that year, which I find funny because you can't really take the memory away from somebody that saw a championship or experienced a championship unless you're someone that has Men in Black technology. You can use put the pen in their face and wipe their memory or something like that.
It's all formality.
Right.
When somebody tests or brings up questions about a Heisman or a Kentucky Derby or an Indy 500. I don't care what sport you're talking about. People remember who won. The fans of that sport remember who won, and they think of that person as a champion, even if they are shady. Some people take cheating in sports more seriously than other people.
They do, but they don't do it for everything. That's what I find fascinating,
Inconsistency.
Vanessa. Right. I mean, look, in the case of Russians, I mean, don't we just shrug our shoulders? Oh, a Russian tested positive for drugs at the Olympics? What a surprise. Someone tested positive for steroids in the 1990s in baseball or looked like they were doing steroids in baseball. I think a lot of us, at least in our generation, Vanessa, are like, yeah, we didn't care. Baseball was fun during
the 90s. It was fun, and it brought it back.
Yeah.
The home run competition brought it back.
And it was right after the lockout and all that stuff. Guess what? Another lockout around the corner. Steroids, the answer. And you also have in other sports, too, like the Olympics, there's always some sort of doping going on. Cycling? Good God. I mean, have we had a Tour de France without some sort of cycling scandal that took place afterwards for blood doping or something like that? So there are certain things that we shrug our shoulders at. But I do think that when it comes to American sports, we only care when a really good team cheats. That's it.
I think one of the things that I look back on with a lot of fondness and something that makes me laugh is like the 2000s interviews with 60 Minutes and all of that where like Lance Armstrong and Alex Rodriguez, you know, they have it's the soft camera angle and they have the tears in their eyes and their heads kind of
so
cocked
sorry.
And they're like, I lied. And all of America's like, yeah, we know.
But everyone else in their sports was doing it.
Right.
And that's, so look, I get it. We all are secretly just really petty people. And when somebody that has more success than us, say it's the Astros, say it's the Patriots, when they have more success than us and they cheat or they're found to have cheated, we assume that their cheating was worse than any of the other organizations out there because they were winning. When in reality is a lot of these teams are doing the exact same stuff to varying degrees. Some of them are a little more competent with it. Others are maybe a little more careless with it, which is why Astros, Patriots, etc. actually get caught with it. So I'm just fascinated by the people that will be mad at some cheating, but they're not mad at all cheating.
That makes sense. I see the inconsistency standpoint on that.
If you had all of that energy for what the Astros did, shouldn't you have all this energy for all of those poor degenerates who bet on Mandaloon at the Kentucky Derby only for that bastard Medina Spirit who we should dig up and put into a bottle of glue and burn him? Like, I mean, he's a terrorist. You know, he committed terrorism against gamblers. He is an awful, awful being. Yes, he's not a human being. He's a horse.
Not his fault.
You know what? No, he doesn't have to stay in a stable. You know, he could bust out of that stable and you know, go back to being like out in the wild, you know? But no, he's a beta and he needs to, you know, he needs that rush of steroids and winning races and, you know, getting to stud afterwards. I mean, he's a terrible entity. At least if we're going to act as if the Astros and all these other teams are so bad, can we at least do the same thing with this stupid horse?
The reason you're so passionate about cheating is because your teams cheat.
Yeah. I'm glad they do.
Let me take you back to DeQuell Jackson bringing a football to the ref
in a game that was like 50-7.
This isn't properly inflated, but he was right, and the Patriots were cheating. The Astros, I don't know. I mean, the Astros is a little bit more complicated.
A lot of teams in baseball were doing it.
Correct.
But with the ball doctoring and stuff like
never
that.
Never been proven that other teams were doing it.
But there also it actually had happened before. It happened in 2012. The San Diego Chargers, they actually covered up the findings of balls that had been deflated, and they were fined a couple of thousand dollars, where millions of dollars were put into a report to investigate people who were jealous of Tom Brady and the Patriots' success, so that he gets suspended 4 games based off of a conclusion in a $1 million report of more probable than not. Now, I know you were firsthand with it, and like whatever information you and Bob Kravitz, because you were interning for Bob Kravitz at the time, saw.
Oh, that was so fun. That was fun. It was good to intern for him during that time.
I mean, I bet if I were a Colts fan.
He was public enemy number one for Boston people.
He was. And if I were a Colts fan, and I'm interning, this would have been a lot of fun. I would have really enjoyed it. Like, yeah, awesome. suck on that, Tom Brady. You son of a bitch. But it got me thinking, like, why is it that with these respective sports we care so much, and these others we just shrug our shoulders? And I feel like there are some people who think all cheating is the same. I don't agree with that. I think some cheating is worse than other cheating, but we all paint with that broad brush. And I think what the Astros were doing was just a much more nuanced version of what a lot of teams in baseball were doing. The Rangers supposedly were doing it. They suck, but they were apparently doing it in some way, shape, or form. You cannot tell me that the Red Sox weren't doing anything with their Apple Watch stuff. The Yankees, I mean, they had...
unsealed a letter, Rob Manfred.
Right. We've never seen that. And the Dodgers acting like they didn't do anything either. I mean, I'm sorry. Game 7 of the World Series in 2017, like, everyone was crossing signs because everyone thought everyone had the other team's signs. So, look, I'm not acting like the Astros are innocent here. Anyway, I wanted to play a really quick game with everybody. And it's the new hit game show that's sweeping America. And here's how it works. It's called, first off, Horse, Cyclist, or Russian. And I'm going to list you a drug.
Ooh, kinky.
And you have to tell me who did the drug. Was it a horse? Was it a cyclist? Or was it a Russian?
Okay.
So number one, Vanessa Richardson, bromantane. Bromantane. Was that done by some dirty Russians? Some cheating cyclist? Or some has-been horse?
I'm going to go with the horse.
That is incorrect. Bromantane was developed in the 1970s in Russia. It is the first steroid that had psychostimulating and anxiolytic effects. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. Okay. Number two. Who took this? Was it a horse, a cyclist, or a Russian? Strychnine, cocaine, chloroform, and aspirin mixed together.
Oh, that had to be a cyclist, right?
Oh, it is. 1924. A bunch of Frenchies. Henri Pelissier. Francis Pelissier and Charles Pelissier abandoned the Tour de France after mixing strychnine, cocaine, chloroform, aspirin, horse ointment, and other drugs to keep going. Francis is reported as saying, "Is thought we run on dynamite." Henry is remembered saying, "Do you know how we keep going? Look, this is cocaine, chloroform too, and pills? You want to see pills? Here are 3 boxes. We run on dynamite." So these Frenchies, really crazy. All right, one last one. Is this done by a horse, a cyclist, or a Russian? Frog venom.
So process of elimination would tell me this would be horse, right?
Yeah, I didn't really think about that side of it. So you're good at taking tests. Congratulations. Frog venom. It's this drug called dermorphin, and it's like found on Brazilian frogs. It blocks pain while increasing feelings of excitement and euphoria, which prods a horse to run faster despite injuries.
Nice.
I'm really...
Frog venom.
Frog venom is something else.
Who would have thought?
I should try it.
I mean, why couldn't humans use that?
It's true. A great question. I mean, how do we know that the entire NFL isn't using frog venom right now?
I'm sure some of them have tried. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we hit you with the top of the hour. More conversations about Deshaun Watson. An update on those depositions, what the judge ruled yesterday. That's coming up.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.